Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. Today on Route 51, the talk returns to politics and the state legislature as it grapples with Governor Walker's biennium budget proposal. The document, to use the governor's words, is big and bold, proposing a $300 million cut to the UW system while setting up a new UW authority that would give administrators the power and autonomy to change the way they do business. There are cuts to the Department of Natural Resources. Just yesterday, it was reported that 57 DNR staffers got layoff notices, including 27 in the Bureau of Science Services. There are cuts to Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television. There is an end to the enrollment cap on the statewide school voucher program and changes in public school accountability. There are cuts to the funding of state parks to be replaced by new user fees. There are cuts in state funding for long-term care for the elderly, the disabled, and the chronically ill. And there are new requirements for those on public assistance, including drug testing. And the budget contains new tax cuts and property tax reductions. Even as we speak, many of those proposals are being changed by state lawmakers who have held listening sessions to get feedback from the voters who elected them. And we have two of those lawmakers joining us by phone today. State Senator Janet Bewley, a Democrat, represents the 25th District, which runs along Lake Superior's South Shore and stretches into portions of Vilas and Price counties. And we have State Representative Bob Culp, a Republican, who represents the 69th Assembly District that includes portions of Clark County, Wood County, and the city of Marshfield. I'm Glenn Moberg. We are with Bob Culp and Janet Bewley, and in a few minutes, they'll be taking your questions. If you want to get in line, the phone number is 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I will read it live on the air. And before we get started, I should make very clear what should be obvious. I work for Wisconsin Public Radio, which is facing large cuts in two ways. Cuts to UW Extension, which employs both me and the other reporters and the on-air staff, and there are also cuts to the Educational Communications Board, which is the organization that keeps the transmitters running and keeps us on the air. Before we talk about the proposed budget cuts, let's talk about the budget deficit. In January, the Legislative Fiscal Bureau, a nonpartisan body, said the governor would have to plug a $280 million budget shortfall by the end of June, and that over 2 years, the deficit could be as large as $2 billion. How did we get into this mess? Bob Culp, let's start with you, and then Janet Bewley.
Thanks, Glenn, and it's good to be with you and with all of the listeners. The budget certainly is not one that is it's big and bold, as the governor said. It is also really my first run through a budget process. And, you know, I've got to tell you, and I've told many groups throughout the state that for 30 years, I've run my own business. I've been in charge of my own initiatives. And so this is a difficult place to be, to either defend or disagree with the budget. And, you know, it's by state law, of course, we need to balance a budget on a biennial basis. And this budget is balanced because of that. And as far as getting into the deficit and what's going to be needed by the end of June, I think that, you know, as the revenue numbers come out on the gas fuel tax side, revenues were up, so I think that's good news. And at some point in this hour, I want to just kind of give a brief overview of what I see as the seven big pots of money. And I don't know if this is the right time now or if we should kick it over to Senator Bewley and let her have a conversation.
Well, let's go to Senator Bewley, and then, Bob, I'm going to come right back to you and ask you to elaborate on that. Janet Bewley, how did we get into this mess?
Well, I think it is important. First of all, thank you very much for allowing me to speak to your listeners this morning. The budget is very complex. It is a work in progress, and it certainly deserves the attention of everyone in the state of Wisconsin. We do, by law, have to have a balanced budget. And when you look at the projections of what it is that we need based upon the different agencies in order to meet the needs of the people of Wisconsin, and then you compare that to projected revenues, there's a gap. And the work of Joint Finance Committee right now will close that gap. And it is that process that we're talking about today. What is it that we can do to affect the revenue side on one hand, and also to pare back the requests from each of the agencies while still meeting the needs of the state of Wisconsin.
You know, I covered the governor's race pretty extensively back in campaign season in October. In fact, I co-hosted a half-hour Wisconsin Public Television special with Governor Walker's opponent, Mary Burke. We asked her a question about why her budget figures were so different from Scott Walker's. In that second debate that they had, the governor said that we would start this budget with a $517 million surplus. Burke challenged him, saying there would be a $1.8 billion shortfall heading into the budget, which is pretty close to what we're actually facing. How was there such a discrepancy back then in October, and why do we face this problem today? And Janet Buley, I'll start with you and then go back to Bob Culp.
Well, first of all, they were talking, some people could be talking about the current status of the last budget, the budget that we are living in right now. And we look at budget projections, what we think we're going to be able to collect based upon what we are spending right now and what that will look like at the end of the fiscal year. We can conclude that there's a gap, and we are going to do what is needed in order to close that gap. When you're talking about a proposed budget, I mean, you know, you can have all kinds of projections from very bold and anticipating great revenues on one hand, but you have to balance that with what the governor is saying he hopes will be a very low tax burden on the state. So I'm not sure how we can have both great, wonderful revenues at a time when the governor says he wants to reduce taxes. It's that balance that we need to get, and we need to have a conversation with the people of the state about what they want to see funded in the budget.
Well, Bob Culp, this sounds like a good time to talk about those seven pots of money.
Certainly, and Senator Buley certainly has it right that it is budgets are always a, well, I put it as a business person, that it's a projected profit and loss, if you will, as opposed to looking at the balance sheet as it's followed us up. And I'll just say that the balance sheet as it's followed us up the last 4 years, and that's found in the comprehensive annual financial report that the state puts out on a yearly basis, we're in good shape. And all of that being said, revenues are projected to be up by about 6% over the biennium, going from about $35 billion annually. I like to think in terms of annual, although we do it on a biennial basis, from about $35 billion to around $37.3 billion. So that's about a 6% increase. But the seven big pots of money that comprise 80% of the state's budget are Department of Health Services. That is about $10.4 billion, and it's increasing by $1.1 billion up to $11.5 billion. That's the first big pot, and I'm doing these in order of their magnitude, their size. The second one is DPI, Department of Public Instruction, starts out at about $6.4 billion, and there are categorical aid cuts the first year, which take it down by $111 million, but they end up going up over the biennium. It will end up at $264 million more than it started out. That's about 4%. University of Wisconsin is a $6 billion budget, third big pot of money. That's decreasing by $150 million per year in the budget. And again, as Senator Buley rightly stated, the work in process and a lot of work is being done, you know, in both houses as well as on joint finance. The fourth big pot of money is the Department of Transportation. That starts out at $3 billion annually, and that is increasing by about $6.8 million or about 2%. Shared revenue is the fifth big pot of money. That is starts out at $2.4 billion. It's increasing by about 9%. Department of Corrections is the sixth big pot. That's $1.3 billion, and we're actually decreasing that by about $94 million. That ends up about a 7% cut at that point. Department of Children and Families is the final big component of it. It starts out at about $1.2 billion. It's increasing by 11% or about $130 million. So if you look at those seven big pots of money, Department of Health Services is going up, and we have very little control, if you will, on that with that magnitude of money. Because as a business owner, any business owner, health care costs are going up. So that is kind of not out of control for us. We're doing some things on that, but it's not a place where you can make up to get to a balanced budget, which is important on the state level because, as you know, we can't just print money and we have to balance that budget. DOT, we know what's happened there. That's not a pot that we can take anything from. Shared revenue is, you know, kind of a formula that goes up. There's certain toggles we have on that, but it's not really something we can work with. Corrections is already taking a cut, and Children and Families is a place where, you know, the revenues are going up there, and that's a great place to invest, as is the health of our people. So that leaves you with DPI, Department of Public Instruction, and the UW as the two remaining pots of money where a budget in its initial rollout needs to be balanced. And I guess one of the things that I've worked at is to try to let people know that I don't believe it's a value judgment by the administration or the legislature or the joint finance as to we don't value education, because I think no matter if you have an R behind your name or a D behind your name, we care about the people of the state. We really, truly do. And it comes down to budget dynamics with those seven big pots of money making up 80% of the overall state budget. That's what we really have to work with.
Well, let's talk about those UW budget cuts.
Excuse me, Glenn, could I kind
yes.
of put my take on the pots of money?
Yes, please
okay.
do.
All right, you know, perhaps it is helpful to talk about a pot of money as if it is a bowl of cash. But in fact, that's not what a pot of money is. As the representative is talking about, he's putting brackets around categories of spending. Okay, they're not necessarily income streams that are a pot of money that you can put in or take out. We as a state have decided that we are going to gain revenue from a number of different sources, and then we are going to allocate that revenue. They're not all discrete sources of funding. So to say that one pot is uniquely contained does not fully explain how we gather revenue nor disperse revenue, because they're not discrete. We also have to factor in that in many of these categories, in some categories you are able to borrow, and in other categories you are not. In some categories there's fixed federal money, and in other categories there is not. So I think that it can be, I'm not suggesting that the representative is trying to mislead anyone, but I don't think that it is helpful to be able to describe pots of money as though they are discrete and whatever's in the pot is what you get to spend. That's not the case. We collect general purpose revenue, and then as a state, we decide where it's going to go.
Bob,
we can move those pots around.
Bob Culp, I'm going to give you just a few seconds here to respond to that. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because
yep.
we've got a lot to talk about today.
Certainly, and the senator makes some good points. I there certainly is federal money that comes in, but as an overall view of the state budget, I think what I stated is accurate. And let me just say that in the revenue projections for this biennium, if we're going up by 6%, talking about tax cuts and keeping taxes low, I believe, you know, many people in the state want that. I know that I do, and I think I reflect a lot of people in the state. So we've cut the tax rate for straight across the board, whether you own property and if you make income, those tax cuts are in effect, and revenues are still going up. You could make the argument that maybe you should have raised the taxes. I don't know that we would have necessarily expanded revenues in doing that.
Well, let's get into the budget cuts specifically, and I want to start with the UW budget cuts, and I am going to play a short piece of video or piece of audio here. I attended a budget hearing last week at UW Stevens Point that was hosted by three central Wisconsin Republicans, Representative Scott Krug, John Spiros, and Nancy Vandermeer. Here's a short piece which will detail their reactions and some of the comments that were made during that hearing, and then we'll come back and get your reactions to it, Bob Culp and Janet Bewley.
Who do you work for? You have the power. to make changes to this budget that will make it work for all of us.
Liz McDonald was one of dozens of speakers who asked Republican Scott Krug, Nancy Vandermeer, and John Spiros to restore the cuts to the UW system. Many, like Gene Reineking of Almond, addressed the lawmakers personally.
Our governor is not going to be here forever, but you folks are going to be here, and you're going to have to clean up his mess.
The lawmakers heard from other office holders, including Portage County Board of Supervisors Executive Patty Dreyer.
I'm looking at this budget, and I know you didn't write it. Thank you for not writing this budget. But you've got a big job to do in helping us through here. This is our job as public servants. It's to solve problems, not to create new ones, and not to leave the world worse than we found it in the first place.
UW Stevens Point senior Ryan Kurnowski said he would probably leave the state when he graduates in a few weeks.
I have zero interest in staying in the state of Wisconsin. And you want to talk about the brain drain that's happening? It's because there's no value in education. Why raise a family here if your children are going to be subject to a subpar education?
Stevens Point Alderwoman Mary Kneebone said the effect of the cuts would extend beyond the campus.
I'm concerned about the economic repercussions to the city of Stevens Point. I'm concerned about Eau Claire and La Crosse and River Falls and Whitewater. All these small cities depend on the economic benefits that the university brings.
It was a point echoed by Democratic Assemblywoman Katrina Shankland of Stevens Point, who sat in on the session. She said she was surprised by the size of the governor's cuts.
I had not heard the governor campaign on laying off the people in my district. There are ways to fully fund our university system and our public schools. The governor is choosing not to.
And when the hearing was over, one of the panelists, Republican Assemblyman Scott Krug of Wisconsin Rapids, said the proposed 25% cut in state aid to UW Stevens Point would affect his city as well.
The majority of the people that probably work in the UW system in Stevens Point or Marshfield campus live in Wisconsin Rapids. They're my constituents too, so it's really important to make sure that they're heard and that their jobs aren't being affected by budget cuts.
Fellow Republican Assemblyman John Spiros of Marshfield said he was particularly concerned about the area's two-year schools, UW Marshfield Wood County and UW Marathon County.
Up in Marshfield, we have a two-year. Down in Wausau, two-year. We heard from them what these cuts will do because they are funded so much different. And right now, with a lot of the information I have on the 4 years, I'm taking a look at that as well.
The third panelist, Republican Assemblywoman Nancy Vandermeer, said she, too, would take a look.
I couldn't make any promises. I'm a UW La Crosse graduate, though. I would like to make sure that we maintain the quality of our UW education.
And Scott Krug, who organized the hearing, predicted that the $300 million figure would be reduced.
This $300 million cut idea just doesn't work. There may be a number that comes out that's smaller than that, but it's not going to be that $300 million.
And those are comments from the budget hearing at UW Stevens Point last week. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. If you just joined us, our guests are two lawmakers on different sides of the aisle who are grappling with the governor's budget proposal. We have Republican Bob Culp, an assemblyman from Stratford, and also Janet Bewley, a state senator and a Democrat from Mason. If you'd like to join the conversation, if you've got questions about any of the budget cuts or comments that you'd like to make, 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Our lines are wide open right now if you'd like to get in. And you can also put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I will read it live on the air. Bob Culp, your colleague Scott Krug says that that $300 million figure isn't going to fly. Well, what do you think?
Well, I think what you heard in those interviews and both the hearing and in the interviews was a real concern by my fellow Republicans and really everyone all over the state about the health and the vitality of the UW. We are all truly concerned about that. And I met with chancellors, deans, and even UW President Ray Cross numbers of times about all of these issues just to see what their, you know, where they were coming from. So I know that I share that concern. And as I mentioned, this is my first time through the budget process. I've not seen others in the past, so I kind of come with a clean slate. But that is truly my passion as well, to make sure that we minimize the cuts to the UW, that we maintain the world-class institution that we've had. And I share John Spiro's comments that I'm particularly concerned about the two-year colleges, because I think they really give a major bang for the buck in every community, and the economic impact and the ability to go a short distance for a high-quality education is incredibly important.
Janet Bewley, your reaction to what you just heard?
Well, it was very similar to what I've been hearing in listening sessions throughout my district and the state. I have the privilege of having both a two-year campus and a four-year campus in the 25th, also technical colleges. People are very, very interested in the integrity of the education. They want to make sure that the institutions that they apply to and are accepted to are going to remain strong and valid. And the proposed cuts are a blow. They're a shock. The governor did not campaign on cutting the University of Wisconsin system. We've never heard any inkling, and I have not heard from any of my colleagues across the aisle that this was something they wanted, anticipated, or asked for. So why are we doing it? Well, we're doing it because the governor has to balance his budget and the revenues are going elsewhere. We can make a choice about how we fund our colleges and universities. We can choose to decide how much GPR is going into the universities, and we're choosing to keep that very, very low. We have been going down the cost of education, the state share of a cost of education is decreasing all the time. And we are choosing, as a state, I'm not necessarily in favor of it, of reducing our investment in higher public education. That's just a fact. I don't think the state agrees with that. I think that the state values a publicly funded state system, and we need to make sure that we remain true to that, to the integrity of our educational institutions, and to not again inflict a massive cut on an institution that was cut by $22 million in the last budget. I don't know where these cuts can come from. And indeed, right now, campuses are forced to inform people that they could be being let go. That is not a conversation we expected. It certainly isn't one that they deserve, and I'm hoping that we're going to be able to find other solutions.
Bob Culp, as a reporter who covered that campaign back in October, I have to ask this question because, you know, as you know, it's my job to ask good questions during campaigns, and it seems that I didn't do my job because I didn't ask any good questions at all about the governor's plans. Back in October, did Governor Walker say anything about cutting $300 million from the UW system or eliminating the cap on private school vouchers or making the Natural Resources Board an advisory board only or eliminating 60 positions from the DNR or cutting funding for our state parks or cutting Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television, pushing seniors from senior care to Medicare Part D, making cuts to state funding for long-term care, and making Wisconsin a right-to-work state? Did the governor say anything about those things back in October during the campaign, or am I just a lousy reporter and I missed it?
Well, you're not a lousy reporter, Glenn, by any stretch. And you know, these are all serious issues. There's no question about that. The budget is a work in process, and I certainly would not pretend to speak for the governor. I know that if you would have asked me what I was campaigning on, I would have said, and I did say many times, that I will work hard, I'll listen well, I'll take the concerns of each and every one of my constituents and my friends and neighbors, as I choose to call them, into account and make absolutely the best decisions possible that I can, given my purview. Relative to what the governor may or may not have said, I guess I would leave that to a future interview with you and the governor.
All right. Well, we'll see if that happens. UW Stevens Point is being hit harder than any other campus, according to its chancellor, Bernie Patterson. This is a 25% cut in state aid, largely due to the elimination of segregated programs, including, Janet Bewley, one in your district, the Aquaculture Research Facility in Bayfield.
Mm-hmm.
How important is that facility, and what, I guess, if anything, can we do about the situation facing UW Stevens Point?
Well, first of all, if you are interested in exploring new businesses and more jobs, you have to look at new areas, and aquaculture is one of them. It's a very exciting business opportunity. It's a very, it's something that Wisconsin could do very well. And at a time when our universities are being asked to engage with business and industry in doing research on emerging areas, this is classic. This is exactly that. This is the university system doing exactly what the business world is asking for. Take a good idea and really investigate it. That center is producing amazing results. The aquaculture community, and I have attended their conferences, although I missed it this year, in the last 3 years, I've attended every one. They look to the aquaculture facility as a standard for emerging trends in this industry. To tell the University of Wisconsin Stevens Point to close it is not only inappropriate, it is anti-business. I don't know why that choice was made. We are going to hope that Joint Finance Committee realizes the benefit to industry and job creation that this facility provides and that it's reinstated.
All right. I'm going to have to move on at this point. We're way behind. We have to take a quick break, and we've got to talk about other areas of the budget as well. If you just joined us, Republican Bob Culp, Assemblyman from Stratford, and Democratic State Senator Janet Bewley from Mason, our guests today, 1-800-780-9742. If you'd like to join the conversation, that's 1-800-780-9742. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio.
Thank you to the business sponsors who help support WPR programs, including Overture Center for the Arts, Union Cab Cooperative, and Kimberly-Clark Corporation. Play a role in the success of WPR. Go to WPR.org/sponsor. Support also comes from Northwind Renewable Energy of Stevens Point, designing and installing solar systems, highly efficient wood boiler systems, and providing deep energy retrofits to buildings. Northwind's project portfolio is available at northwindre.com.
It's Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network. I'm Glenn Moberg with Republican Bob Culp and Democrat Jan Bewley, a couple of lawmakers who are working with the governor's proposed budget. Let's talk about public and private schools. Where do you stand on the elimination of the cap on private school vouchers? Bob Culp, let's go to you first.
Certainly appreciate that. And I would like to, at some point, I think the UW will come up again in what Senator Bewley was referring to, the aquaculture. But let's talk about the school vouchers and the expansion statewide. I ran twice on the concept of school choice, and so I'm not backing away from that, but there are certainly some very difficult things that brings, you know, brings up. School districts that are talking about having less funding for their traditional students, the students that come in. So there are certainly issues that need to be worked around, and I think the governor tried to address some of those with the entrance point being, you know, kindergarten, first grade, or ninth grade. I think that may be somewhat of a compromise, but this is not by any means a done deal in the budget, and the topic will continue to go and to grow. I'm concerned that each and every child in the state gets absolutely the best education possible, and I think that parents and with their children are able to make that choice. That being said, we want to make certain that our public schools remain absolutely the best in the nation, and I believe they are. And in our area of central Wisconsin, we have phenomenal schools. So I believe that they will continue to be a beacon of good in the community, and that's, I guess, really kind of sums it up. There's a lot of moving parts here, and we need to make certain that we are taking care of each and every student.
Janet Bewley?
I have no question of saying I'm opposed to statewide expansion of vouchers. I represent the largest Senate district in the state. We have schools that are very, very good, and they're working very, very hard. If we have a statewide expansion of vouchers and school funding is cut to the schools in my district because of that the pot of money, if you will, is less, they have no choice but to go to a school that's underfunded. They have no choice but to go to a school that is underfunded. That does not serve them. These schools are not failing, and they do not need to have even less money because a system that was designed to save schools in Milwaukee and didn't succeed is now being expanded to the entire state. It is a problem in the district that does not need to be solved by a method that is going to decrease their funding.
We're going to go to the phones right now. We have one caller on the line. Caller, I have just connected you. We're having some problems with our phone system today, so our call screener can't hear you. So I'm taking this call on the fly. I need you to give me your first name and the community that you're calling from.
My name is Donna, and I'm calling from Marshfield.
Donna, your questions for Bob Culp and Janet Bewley.
Yeah, for one, I'm very concerned about the voucher system, as the speaker just talked about. The purpose of the voucher system was to provide funding for students who are in inferior school districts, and as she said, in Milwaukee. Now, it has expanded, and as an example, an excellent school district should really have no vouchers. Last year, U.S. News and World rated Marshfield High School as number one in Wisconsin. There should be no vouchers in Marshfield, and I'm really concerned about that. We chose to have our children in the private school for part of their education and then moved to the public, or to the public school when that was a better option. So I'm real concerned about what's happened. That voucher money really, really should go to the public schools because they have all the children. Children with special needs.
We hear you, Donna. Let me get reaction from Bob Culp and Janet Bewley, and I'm going to drop your line here so we can get more callers in.
Okay.
Bob Culp, your reaction. She's talking about Marshfield High School. That's in your district.
And certainly Marshfield High School is a top-rated school in the country, and without question, I think will continue to be, even with a measured statewide expansion, if that's how this all turns out. So I guess I would just revert back to what I said previously, that I care about this and that I'm talking to superintendents. I mean, immediately after this budget was introduced and the categorical aid cuts went away, and I know that's not exactly the topic of what we're talking about, but there are 10 school districts in my district, and I talked to 8 of the 10 superintendents within days after that just to see how the budget would affect them, and often and almost always the topic of the vouchers and the perceived money that was taken away from them, how that all shook out. So again, this is something that I care about and that I'm trying to get to the bottom of to understand how we can do it with minimal impact to school districts.
There's a new Marquette University poll that came out last week that indicates Governor Walker, after releasing the details of this budget, his popularity has taken a nosedive. It's down to a 41% favorability rating and 55% opposed. That same poll also indicates that many of these specific proposals are quite unpopular with the voters of Wisconsin. Janet Bewley, have you seen the poll, and what's your reaction to it?
Well, you know, I'm less concerned about how Governor Walker is polling and more concerned with how the people of my district feel about his policies and his blueprint for the future. They are radically opposed to many of the issues in the budget. If that means that they don't see him favorably, so be it. I'm more concerned about this budget right now. I don't need to be worried about Governor Walker. But we have got to make sure that the people that are saying they want this budget changed, that the changes are made, and that people on both sides of the aisle listen to what people are saying and respond. Now, we can expect that they're going to say, oh, yes, we're going to do all we can, and then at the end of the day, they're going to vote for the stinking budget. And people need to pay attention to that. If they don't like what is in the budget, don't vote for it.
Back to the phones, 1-800-780-9742. And again, you will not hear a call screener, so I'm going to take the calls as they come in. Caller, give me your first name and the community you're calling from.
Yes, this is Jan Way from Stevens Point.
And Jan, your questions for Bob Culp and Janet Buley.
Yes, we've been talking about cuts because we need to balance the budget, which mainly seem to be detrimental to education and the environment. My question is, what do the guests feel about the policies that have been put into this budget? Number one, doing a study on wind energy, that's already been done. And the other one of the drug testing, which most certainly is going to cost more than it provides due to court costs, because it will be challenged, and also the fact that very few people actually test positive. Those policies, plus the fact that we still have $345 million of Medicare money that our governor has refused to take from the federal government.
We've got a lot on the plate here. Again, I'm going to drop your call. You can listen off air. Thanks so much for the phone call. Let's start with the idea that people on public assistance should be tested for drug use. The governor notes that many workplaces force employees to undergo drug tests, so the policy makes those on public assistance, according to the governor, ready for employment. But yesterday, a coalition of religious organizations sent a letter to the Joint Finance Committee asking lawmakers to reject the proposal. It was signed by the Wisconsin Council of Churches, the Wisconsin Catholic and Jewish Conferences, Wisdom, and other organizations. Here's a quote from the letter. Subjecting applicants for federal assistance to drug screening and testing only because they are dealing with poverty or loss of income is degrading and humiliating. It adds to the stigma of applying for public assistance and may discourage some from seeking the very help that they and their families need. Bob Culp, your reaction to those two points of view on drug testing public assistance recipients.
Certainly good points. And that relative to policy and the budget, just briefly, I first time around with the budget, so it is kind of intriguing to me that that we do this. And I'll just leave that there. But drug testing, I went on record back last year saying that I think to just test without having some kind of a mechanism to do treatment is not ideal, and I believe a component of that is in the budget. I'm also concerned that if we do that, that we would possibly have an increase in crime because of the need for those people that the small percentage that might be test positive to have to fund that habit. That all being said, I guess it gives me heartburn. I understand where the governor is coming from, that we want to have a workforce that's ready. It would have to be something that's very carefully crafted in order to not have some of the negative effects of some of the unintended consequences that we talked about just now.
Janet Buley?
Well, I think that I'm going to speak as somewhat of a fiscal conservative. We can't afford it. We can't afford a drug testing program. And if we were to devote money to something like that, if the intent is to really to help people, let's help people get jobs. If we do not have the money in there for treatment, we're going to test them, deny them, and then leave them. And that solves nothing. That solves absolutely nothing. What we need to do is to responsibly use the state funds to help people get work and not to punish them.
The caller also suggested that we should be accepting the Medicaid expansion money. I think that would bring in something like $200 million, a little over that, over the next 2 years. Janet Buley, your opinion on that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, we should accept it. And I think everybody needs to remind the governor that it's not too late. We can still accept that money.
Bob Culp, when I talked to you last, you thought it was a bad idea. Do you still feel that way?
Yeah, I don't know that I actually said it was a bad idea. I said I think time will tell if it is a good idea or not. And putting it into the overall perspective again, and I know that this might be it's an interesting concept. We've got a $10.4 billion starting out DHS budget on an annual basis. So if it's $200 million over the biennium, that is less than 0.1%. That isn't to say it's not real money, but let's just break that apart. I met with the Commissioner of Insurance last year as well as the Fiscal Bureau, talking about the tax refunds that are given to people who go out and purchase their own policies. That makes up a fairly substantial portion of that $100 million annually, plus the fact that then those people that purchase insurance when they go in for care, those procedures are reimbursed at full rate rather than Medicaid rate. So there is actually no cost shifting from hospitals coming out. So it's a good talking point, if you will, to say, well, that's easy money to have. But the bottom line of it is we're getting exactly the same revenues back in the form of tax credits that are then used to get the procedure, and the cost isn't shifted back out to the rest of it.
Proponents say that it would also help insure thousands of additional people in Wisconsin.
I would agree with that. It would help insure thousands of people. I do believe that $200 million is a lot of money when you think about the specific place that it would go. If you compare $200 million to the national budget, it's going to look small. If you compare $200 million to other part of the Wisconsin budget, it's going to look small. When you take $200 million and you apply it to the people who need coverage, it's huge. And again, it's not too late.
Back to the phones, 1-800-780-9742. Caller, your first name and the community you're calling from.
Hi, this is Karen from Rosholt.
And your questions for Bob Culp?
I have more of a response to what you have been discussing so far in the program, and I really just have a comment. If we do want a workforce-ready population, then we shouldn't be cutting education, environment, ADRs, ARDC, WPR, WPT, etc. And we should remove right to work.
All right, we're going to leave it at that, and I'm going to pick up the next caller. Caller, you're on the line. Give me your first name and the community you're calling from.
I'm Irv, and I'm calling from northern Wisconsin in the Minocqua area. So I'm north of the district that these two folks, Buelling is in part of my county. I don't think I'm hearing clearly from the gentleman from the Wood County area where he stands on the issue of the ADRC and family care. I chair the Northwoods ADRC board, which encompasses four counties, Taylor, Oneida, Vilas, and Forest County. We have done a remarkable job of providing people services and have done so without a profit margin being factored in. The governor's proposal is to shift all that. It also would remove the involvement of citizen membership on the boards. We have a board that has county board representation, and a majority of that board has citizen representation, and the voice of the citizens, according to the governor's budget, would be removed. I find that appalling.
All right. Thanks so much for the call. Bob Culp, the question was directed at you.
Absolutely, and I don't know that I had the opportunity to address it before, but I'm really glad the gentleman from Minocqua asked. This is something that really has each and every one of us in the Assembly and in the Senate our full attention, frankly. I am very concerned that, and some of my closest friends and advisors, frankly, are work at ADRC. So I am been trying to get my finger on the pulse of this entire issue, if you will. And again, I would just say that this is not something that is ready to be rolled out and ready to be voted on. We are a long way from that. And it has each of us sitting bolt upright in our chairs and saying, let's make sure we get this right.
Republican Bob Culp, Democrat Jan Buelle. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We're going to take a quick break and be back with more talk about the budget.
Contributors to Wisconsin Public Radio include Stevens Point Area Co-op, Peninsula Music Festival, and Import Auto Clinic. You, too, can help ensure the future of WPR with your business sponsorship. Find out more at WPR.org/sponsor. Support also comes from Christine Bremer Moogley of the personal injury law firm Bremer and Trollope, committed to protecting the rights of accident victims throughout Wisconsin. Bremer and Trollope, because the right results matter most. Bremer-law.com.
I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We're down to our last 5 minutes with Republican Bob Culp and Democrat Jan Bewley, and we haven't even talked about the proposed cuts to the DNR. So let's do that now. Just yesterday, some would say, ironically, on Earth Day, 57 employees of the Department of Natural Resources got layoff notices, including 27 people in the Bureau of Science Services, where the governor is proposing significant cuts. Janet Bewley, let's go to you first, since you represent the North Woods and the DNR does a lot of work up there.
Well, you know, we need science. We need the DNR to provide the data that upon which decisions are made. People can say that they don't trust science, and I'll leave it to that, but we need science, and we need our own agency to be doing the work on the issues that affect us. We don't need to hire outside people to do science for us. I can't imagine why we would cut something as significant as the data producers out of our own agency when it is upon data that we make our decisions. I think that we need to make sure that those positions are filled and that we continue to make good decisions with a DNR that has a governing board and not an advisory council.
Well, that last item apparently has already been decided that it won't be in this budget by the Joint Finance Committee. Bob Culp, your reaction to the proposal to cut so many people, including scientists, from the DNR?
Oh, certainly. And just a little bit of an inside look as to how things work with Joint Finance. Each one of the Joint Finance members in our caucus is assigned a topic group, and then they meet with people that have committees that line up with that topic group. And I'm actually part of the DNR with our budget partners. And we were talking yesterday or the day before, time gets away from me, but we were talking about those cuts specifically. And there was a lot of concern from my fellow Republican Assembly people about them. And I think, again, this is something that that has our attention, and we are hoping to make certain that we have an efficient agency, well-staffed agency, without cutting, you know, things that truly matter. And so, again, there's a lot of internal debate going on. And I would say that I'm happy that this cake isn't fully baked.
Bob Culp and Jan Bewley, we've only got like a minute and a half, and I want to touch very quickly on funding for a Milwaukee Bucks stadium. Bob Culp, on your Facebook page, you had what was really a pretty thoughtful look at the entire issue, saying that there were no real good choices here for the state of Wisconsin.
Well, we're already in the arena business. How can we get out of it? That's my primary objective, and I appreciate you checking out what I did post on Facebook, and thanks for the comment that it was thoughtful.
And Jan Bewley, funding for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Well, you know, again, it's borrowing. It's all borrowing, and it is based upon certain models that even have reverse amortization in it. And I think that if the people that are listening took a very serious look at what is being proposed, regardless of how you feel about basketball, this is not a good move for the state of Wisconsin to make at this point. We have so much borrowing in the budget as proposed. We just cannot go and do something that so specifically is invested in a building that will have a very short lifespan.
Bob Culp, very quickly, if you could sum up the budget process, where we're at, and where you're at as far as that goes.
Well, as I said, it's a process. It's not a done deal. We are listening carefully. That's what I committed to, again, during the campaigns that I've had, is to work hard, listen well, and take into account everything that's said. And that continues to be my commitment.
And Janet Bewley, you've got the last word.
Well, I'm just so very grateful for this chance to listen again to people of the state of Wisconsin, because they are the ones who should be deciding what is in the budget. We have the governor proposing what he believes is our blueprint. We've got other people commenting on it. But at the end of the day, it's about what the people want, and then it is how your representatives
vote.
And I want to thank both of you, Janet Bewley and Bob Culp, for a very informative and thoughtful discussion. It could have gone the other way, and instead we had a very respectful, thoughtful conversation between the two of you, and we'd love to have both of you back.
I agree.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
We do want to thank State Senator Janet Bewley, a Democrat representing Wisconsin's 25th State Senate District, and State Representative Bob Culp, a Republican representing Wisconsin's 69th Assembly District. I'm Glenn Moberg. Thanks to our executive producer and our on-air producer, Rick Ryer. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Next week on Route 51, we look at the expansion plans for the Granite Peak Ski Area and how they'll affect Rib Mountain State Park. Our guests will include Granite Peak President and CEO Charles Skinner, Wausau Area Convention and Visitors Bureau Executive Director Dick Barrett, and we'll have a representative from the Department of Natural Resources. Remember to follow us on Facebook. If you missed part of this show, you can hear it in its entirety Friday evening at 7 on WHRM 90.9 FM Wausau. The program can also be downloaded at wpr.org/route51. Thanks for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin. And until next week, we're heading out of town.